wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. I've got to live with my conscience. There is a sensitive spot in every man's being. It is your conscience. I've got to live with my conscience was the reply of a young woman to some of my questions. To help you visualize this, supposing two are speaking. Joe says to Jack, if I were you, I would get square with him. This is your chance to make it hard for him. Jack replies, but I've got to live with my conscience. Well, he knew by past experiences that to oppress his fellow man will bring a lashing conscience, and that's not good company to live with. Neighbor, what about that? I'll say that is miserable company to live with. Yes, we all know something about that miserable, annoying company. This saying is becoming proverbial, yet so few realize its real meaning, for it even stretches beyond the borders of this world and beyond the clock of time. It goes on into eternity. Yes, for all eternity, each one of us must live with his or her conscience. Some try to outrun their conscience here, but it will catch up with them, for just like their shadow, there it is. Some try to outwit their conscience, but no argument is there for which conscience does not have a conquering answer. Others try to drown their conscience by awful outrages of sin, but the still small voice of their crushed conscience will say, I'm still here. Neighbor, you can no more get rid of your conscience than you can cut off your head or tear out your heart and live. Your conscience is a part of your inner being and is inseparable with your existence. Even when you go into eternity, it won't be buried in your casket, but will depart with your eternal soul. If there were no such thing as sin and man had no conscience, then the lie detector would not work. But that sensitive instrument reacts to a man's conscience and shows the bank employee to be dishonest and the court witness to be a liar. It tells the truth on one and all, and so, neighbor, with your conscience, it will tell the truth on you. Well, what did God ever give a man a conscience? Your conscience is like a policeman. A city needs police to catch up with crime and stop it ere it gets worse, to stop the thief before he commits murder. And so man needs his conscience to arrest him. Man's conscience is also like the state solicitor. It takes his stand on the side of right without respect to persons. Because of this, conscience has many enemies, and even the one whose conscience it is told it to go jump in the river and leave me alone. But conscience will not commit suicide, nor can you kill it. Neighbor, let's face the fact. You and your conscience, and I and mine, must live together forever. There are no divorce courts that can put asunder a man and his conscience. They are one forever, to live under the same roof, to sleep in the same bed, and to work at the same shop. And when that man closes his eyes in death, and his soul silently departs into eternity, till death us do part, may be true of a husband and wife, but not a man in his conscience. It goes into eternity with him. What for? Will I need my conscience in eternity? You may ask. You certainly will. If you're a Christian and have not lived a godly, self-sacrificing life of service for Christ, at his judgment seat you will see others crowned, but you uncrowned. And the good memory of your conscience will go into action, blaming you and saying amen to the decisions of that court of reward. And if you are not a born-again child of God, then you cannot see heaven, for the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be cast into the tormenting flames of divine judgment for your sins. There your conscience will really take over. On earth you tried, as the Bible says, to sear your conscience with a hot iron, but you failed. And so in hellfire the flame shall not consume it, but only stimulate its activity. Your conscience will really go to preaching then. It will remind you of God's warnings and how you fought its warnings. 2. day and night, year by year, yes, forever. It will bring back your history. Like a worm, it shall gnaw at you. Like an itch, it shall irritate you, and like a boil, it shall pain you. The fires of hell shall make you wail. I am tormented in this flame, but the lashings of an awakened memory shall be more painful than the flames. Conscience shall say, you remember how I told you that preacher was telling you the truth? Remember how I pricked you so you couldn't sit still? And you thought he was preaching right at you, but you told me to be still. Then your conscience will continue. Remember when you and I were in the shop and your buddy offered you a drink and I objected, but you shoved me away and reached for the bottle. And you remember when that man you worked for asked you about the job and you lied to him? Like a bee, I stung you, so you had to stutter, but you lied right on. Now, didn't you? Conscience keeps right on until you cry, oh, hush, I just can't stand any more of this. But while you were the big boss on earth, yet now all this is reversed. For in eternity, conscience takes none of your orders, but just keeps right on day and night, year by year, forever. All we'll find is that young woman said, I've got to live with my conscience. And to this we add just one word, forever. Some may ask, what can one do with a partner like that? By now, I trust you're willing to learn from God's word about your conscience. In the Bible, we read of a weak conscience, a defiled conscience, and an evil conscience, and it speaks of a pure conscience, a good conscience, and one void of offense toward God and man. In speaking of a convicting conscience, it shows us how it works. In the Garden of Eden, when man, by his own choice, followed the devil and disobeyed God, his conscience made him so afraid as he heard the voice of the Lord God that he fled and tried to hide. It was his awakened conscience that made him cry, I was afraid, for I was naked. The Lord God asked Adam a question that he did not answer. It was, who told thee that thou wast naked? Who did? It wasn't the devil, nor Eve, and it wasn't God. Who could it be? It was his God-given conscience. Before Adam's fall, his conscience had been free and clean, but then it was an accusing conscience that gave Adam a fit, so he didn't know what to do. I need not multiply from the past or from the present. More examples of this, you already know far more about this than you would like to know, for your conscience has made you so distracted. Instead of like Adam hiding behind a tree, you felt like jumping in a river. Besides making your life miserable on earth, your conscience holds you in constant horror of the great forever, as it holds before you one word, eternity. And it tells you that without a single of warning, you may at any moment enter eternity. Where can a creature of God find relief? Surely God has not left man, whom he loved, in such a wretched predicament without a way out. Before telling you the way out, I must warn you, neighbor, you cannot bluff your conscience, so don't try any of religion salve to ease your conscience. Only that which is perfect, flawless, and complete will silence the voice of conscience and give you real rest and peace of mind. Here's what it takes to meet the exacting need of your conscience. It demanded a Savior to come to your rescue. That Savior was God's own Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. To fully meet the need of your guilty conscience demanded a sacrifice that could cleanse the stain of your sins, that could remove the record of your wickedness from the docket of God's court, a sacrifice that could take away the very guilt of your sins, so that acquitted of every charge, you could stand before the throne of God as one justified, one declared righteous, a sacrifice that could forever reverse the sentence of God, your judge. Once you were guilty before God, but now he so clears you, he himself cries out, I have justified this man, who can condemn him? And heaven and earth are silent. Yes, and for the first time in your life, your conscience says nothing. What? Yes, not a word. And God continues, it is Christ, my Son, who died and rose again. Yes, neighbor, on Calvary's cross, that supreme, that divine sacrifice was offered, that sacrifice that can fully meet your need as a man with a conscience. Here's the way it works. The Bible speaks of those who have no conscience of sin. Isn't that wonderful? Truly, that's worth more to a man than the wealth of the world. Neighbor, for over 66 years, I have been without the guilt of my sins. I know that they're not on God's docket to charge me in eternity. I know I've been cleansed of their every stain. I know I've been forgiven of their debt and their punishment I shall never bear. My conscience that once lashed me and made my life miserable is now at rest, and I have peace with God. This too can be your portion today, right now. It will be found for you right where I found it, in Jesus, the dear Lord Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. If you will repent of your sins, renounce them and forsake them, and turn to God for his mercy, then call on the Lord Jesus, whose blood can cleanse you from all of your sins. Then this peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, you too shall know, and your conscience will be quiet and your soul at rest. Instead of an evil conscience, you will have a good conscience. Instead of an accusing conscience, you shall have a pure conscience. Instead of a troubled conscience, your conscience will be at rest forever, finding its rest in Jesus our Lord, the living man in the glory, whose sacrifice has availed for you. No longer will you be like Adam, running away from God, but being brought to God by Jesus Christ. You'll be happy in his divine presence as you hear the cry of triumph coming from the throne of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died, yea, rather, who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Neighbor, this is God's perfect answer to man's guilty conscience, the conscience that you must live with forever. Truly, Christ is the answer to all of man's needs and distresses, both here and hereafter. He now waits to be the answer to your need, you, the man with a conscience with which you must live forever. Conscience is such a mighty power, built by God into every man. The heathen, who never heard of God's salvation in Christ Jesus the Lord, are held responsible before God to yield to their conscience and to condemn themselves as guilty of sin, and to cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But what do they know about God? The marvelous creation above them in heaven and the wonders of this earth where they live bear their clear testimony to a living, all-powerful God, and this they must confess as the man who built his altar to the unknown God. But if they make an idol and worship that, they're without excuse. So then God has given all men two witnesses, the one their conscience to lead them to repent, and the other God's creation to lead them to worship the living God. But we are very thankful that we have the Bible, God's Word, with its marvelous revelations to us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and of his dying for our sins, his triumphant resurrection to be our deliverer from the powers of death and Satan, and of his coming again to set up his everlasting kingdom as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Say, neighbor, if you were to visit the remote villages of India and see those idol worshippers, you would be so thankful you are not in their darkness. But in the day of judgment, if you're not a real Christian, you will wish you had been born and lived in heathendom, for your damnation will be so much greater than theirs. They rejected the testimony of their conscience and God's creation, but you have had also the Bible as the Holy Spirit's revelation to you of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And added to that Bible, God has sent you his servants with the gospel's offers and its warnings, and now he sends you one more with this message. I may be God's last messenger to you, and this message be his last appeal to your soul. The big question is, what will you do with Jesus, your Savior, your Deliverer, your God? All heaven awaits your answer. I hope and pray it will be Christ for me. I will receive him as my Lord and my Savior. And with this decision, I offer to God this prayer. May I now live all my life for Jesus, my blessed Lord Jesus. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.